At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country. And there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to Hour 2 of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're here with you every Sunday night from 10 to midnight, and we appreciate you joining us. Again, let your friends know about it. And if you can't listen live, remember, we archive all of our shows. Simply go to darknessradio.com, click on the Listen tab. We have the last 2¾ years worth of shows all lined up there. Actually, it's only about 2½ years
just,
now, right?
Just a few.
Yeah, so we've got all of the shows lined up on there. You can go download and listen to the shows at your convenience. We're going to start off second hour here. We've got a good friend of the show on with us this evening. He's going to spend a few minutes here talking about a brand new event that he has coming up in New Orleans, Mr. Chad Kalick from An American Ghost Hunter. Good evening, Chad.
Good evening. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, well, congratulations on a successful event out at Dannybrook. I've heard great things from everybody that went out there and attended, had a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, that was really awesome. That was something we planned on doing for a long time, and we camped through the cold and the rain and had the spooky events went down. It was quite the party. It was a good time. I mean, everybody seemed to have a lot of fun, so we're really excited about that.
I hear the spookiest part was when Tim was out sleepwalking and peeing on people's tents.
Yeah, that was pretty spooky, yeah. But it went over well with most people, I thought.
Excellent.
The only question was, why is the rain so warm?
Well, Chad, let's talk about your event you have coming up. It's an awesome one, going to be out in New Orleans. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's June 6th through the 9th. And let me kind of preface this. I mean, this is a really exciting thing for me. As some people know and those that don't, I work in Hollywood and the entertainment business, and I direct music videos and films as well. And, you know, I was always the paranormal guy. People would give me a hard time and joke around, but they would always have their own paranormal stories. And I wanted to do an event that kind of brought some new and interesting faces, you know, from the world of music and Hollywood out to kind of join up with some familiar faces in the paranormal. And so we're, again, it's June 6th to the 9th. It's at a wonderful hotel, 2 blocks from Bourbon Street. The fascinating Mr. Ryan Buell that you just had on will be out there with Timmy's girlfriend, the lovely Katrina, Chip Coffee as well, my manager, wonderful friend of mine, Kurt Smith from the band Tears for Fears, who I did not know until about 3 months ago. He's managed me for about 10 years, and we're having lunch, and I'm like, so do you believe in all this haunted stuff? And he's like, oh, yeah, I grew up in a haunted house. I about fell off my chair. I'm like, you're kidding me. And then he started telling me all these haunted stories, and I said, you should come out and talk to people. One of my friends from the band Mushroom Head is going to be out there. Glenn Nathans, who owns the Dannybrook Estate, is going to be out there. And it's an event really designed to give people an unparalleled amount of access to all of the speakers and everybody around and really have a good party and really get to know these people, get to know the town of New Orleans, which I love. I'm so excited that we could bring something back to that city since, you know, post-Katrina and do something really, you know, special and exciting in that town. And it's my birthday party as well, so chocolate cake for everybody. It's going to be really amazing.
Very cool. And how can people sign up for this?
Yeah, go to theamericanghosthunter.com. You can register there. It's free to register. You can get your tickets there. And, yeah, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait for people to come out there. If you haven't been to New Orleans before, too, it is my favorite city in the world. And we also have a couple great locals there. A gentleman by the name of Sean Sellers will be speaking on the occult. A vampire, Lord Chaz, he's also a New Orleans historian, will be speaking there as well on the vampire culture as well as the culture of New Orleans. So yeah, theamericanghosthunter.com would be very cool.
I hear you have kind of an amazing host that's going to be out there too.
Yes, I do. The Darkness, Tim Dennis.
That's right.
he will be there, I mean, just knocking down the beers and taking care of the ladies.
Wow.
Well, I love party this guy. Without Dr. Tim.
Excellent. Very cool. Well, again, people can go to The American Ghost Hunter.
Yep, theamericanghosthunter.com, and check it out. Say hi. Join the forum. People are yapping about it. The itinerary is up there. We definitely have some tickets available left, so we're really looking forward to it.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Chad. We'll look forward to seeing you out there. And, again, people can start getting tickets. How many people, Tim, do you know, or Chad, maybe you can answer, how many people do you guys are you opening up tickets for? Is it unlimited? What are you looking for?
Right now, the hotel holds, I think it was 150 is total. So we have a little over half of them left. So we're pretty good.
All right, great. All right, well, hopefully people will sign up and come out and have a good time. Everybody at Dannybrook enjoyed it and had a great time. I know our friend Sid from Pasadena Paranormal Research and Don Shy and Trish and everybody were out there and loved it. So, again, take their word, follow along, and have a great time.
Excellent.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, not a problem. And now we're going to go into our second guest, but let me make this quick mention as well. As we mentioned in the first hour, we had Lisa from Nevada Spirit Seekers is doing the International Ghost Conference taking place in Victoria, Canada, coming up in July. She's got 10 free passes, sets of passes she's giving away. If you're interested in attending, I can get you free passes. Just write to dave@darknessradio.com and say free passes to Canada event and give me your name, phone number, and email address. I'll put Lisa in touch with you, and you can join in on that fun as well. We're going to go to our next guest. Our next guests, I should say, from the sci-fi hit special that was on called Ghost Adventures and the upcoming Ghost Adventures television show that'll be appearing this October 17th on the Travel Channel. Joining us this evening, Mr. Zach Baggins and Nick Groff. How are you guys?
Excellent. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Don't talk the same time as me, Nick.
Sorry. Learn your place,
okay,
Nick.
Say hi first. We do that a lot.
Guys, this has been an exciting year for you.
It has. It's been a very exciting year, and it's now turning into a very busy year.
Right.
And it might sound very tired now. We're seeing what the new TV show world is all about, and lot of time, but, man, we got a lot of new great adventures that we can't wait to share with everybody, really.
And that's the voice of Zach Baggins you're talking. Now, Zach, can you tell us, give us a little bit of a preface on your first special that you had that was a two-hour special that aired on the Sci-Fi Channel. Can you tell us a little bit about how the setup was for that? How long did it take you to create that special? And tell us about a couple of the locations.
Okay. The special, which kind of started everything, stemmed from an experience that I had in Michigan. And then I moved here to Las Vegas and coincidentally met Nick. Nick and I became good friends and soon realized we both shared a similar paranormal experience that really kept us talking and talking about it even more. And then we developed this idea to just take a real raw approach to getting another guy, Aaron Goodwin, who kind of managed all of our camera operations and stuff like that. And that's all we did. We hit the roads, these ghost roads in Nevada. We just went, the three of us, and investigated some of these old ghost towns here, some places that you and Tim have been with us, and we turned it into a documentary. It took us almost 2 years to make it just because we worked on it and worked off, and we ended up doing a lot of investigations throughout that time, too, and what we discovered was some amazing things that happened during that 2 years of filming. Some experiences that we experienced and actually captured some on film. So we put an edit together of all the footage that we shot, and we then just made ourselves a documentary piece. And then we just started kind of entering this into some film festivals, and we got a really big response from it. We entered it in the New York International Film Festival and won the Grand Jury Prize for Best Documentary there, and then we went to the Erie Horror Film Festival, which is a great festival. We got nominated there for a Best Feature, and we saw that we had something really cool. And a lot of people liked what we captured, and we answered a lot of questions about our experiences there. And then one thing led to another, and we ended up getting on Sci-Fi, and they called us an original special there, and about 2 hours long. And they aired it about 7 times. I think there's one more airing coming later on this month. And then from that, We just got our own show now, which is going to be on the Travel Channel.
Well, let me go back to real quick, as long as we have Nick on the line with us. Nick, now, when we're watching that special, and you were at the Old Washoe Club,
mm-hmm.
and you cross the room, when you come back and you check out that video footage, and you see a full-on apparition follow you out of that room, what was your initial reaction to something like that?
Well, actually, I didn't play it back right then and there. I didn't see it until we got back and started analyzing the video. And when I was going through it, I saw this thing walk right after me as I left the room. And when I saw that, your first assumption is, what the hell was that?
Right.
So you rewind it, you watch it over and over and over and again, and you're just looking really deep into the picture and trying to figure out what that was. And then finally, once my brain clicked in, I kind of freaked out. There was no one in that room with me. That thing followed me out. I called Zach up. I had him rush over here and check it out, and, you know, it blew our minds away. And we had to take it to, we wanted to take it somewhere to get analyzed and see, you know, from a third-party point of view, what they could determine on the video, too.
Now, were you using wireless cameras at that time? I know that was a question we've had from a lot of the people that have watched the show.
No,
so there was no bleed through from a possible wireless camera that was picking up a frequency from somewhere else.
No, it was a fresh tape that I put in, mini DV tape, put it right in the stack night vision shot. We let it run. Aaron and Zach were upstairs for a little while. I came downstairs, was doing EVPs, walking around with digital recorder, walked into that room, and that's when that camera picked me up right then and there.
Right.
Walked out of the room, and then that's when that figure followed me out.
Now, all the years that you'd been investigating and looking into the paranormal yourself, had you ever had an experience that clear before?
No, not that clear. I mean, some of the footage that we captured really, really blew our minds, and that's why we're still doing what we're doing. You know, we're still searching for those answers and trying to dig deeper and push the limits on seeing what we can also capture on video.
It's there. It's there. Those people that don't want to believe, it's just... That's the biggest mission here, is just trying to convey to people that, look, it's there. There is something there. And when you can do EVP, we've learned a lot of through EVP, and we're doing more with EVP now. We collaborate a lot with Mark and Debbie Constantino, who actually inform us a lot about EVP and stuff. And when you can start having intelligent spirits actually answer you with certain questions and stuff like that, and when it's relevant to the fact of what kind of investigation we're doing, whether it be through a provocative manner, and you're getting, you know, kind of threatening answers back and stuff like that. If there's answers that you're asking, and there's disembodied voices from spirit that are answering you, I mean, isn't that kind of impactful? I think that should just stop the world and just focus on this. I mean, these are answers that we all don't want to think about. We all don't like death, but if we're starting to hear voices from spirit, you know, that's something we can't just listen to and then just go, oh, okay, yeah, wow, that was kind of scary, and then wake up tomorrow morning and start a new day. I mean, there's something there that we need to pursue, and that's what we're doing, and that's what we'll continue to do.
Now, you guys, you do more of an extreme kind of ghost investigation, and I know one of the things that you guys like to do, and it's kind of a controversial method, especially when you're trying to get EVPs, is what's called taunting in the field. What are your takes on, both of you, let me start off with you, Zach, what are your takes on taunting, and do you ever have a concern that you're dealing with spirits that may be there or held in a spot or might have been tortured or hurt at one point in life? Do you ever walk away thinking, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have pushed those kind of buttons?
I don't like to taunt those that I feel are spirits that are good or whatnot. When we do locations, I really try and pinpoint that exact spirit where people in that location before we got there have been affected by this. A lot of the locations that we like to investigate, we'll go to places where there are people who have been victimized, who have been scratched, who have been harmed, who have been this or that, or has been documented through old press releases on newspapers or whatever for these people that have actually murdered others in these locations. Those are the ones that if they were still alive today, I would still be controversial. I would still taunt them because I don't believe that their ways back when they were alive were good, and nor are they, you know, when they're passed on, if they're trapped and they're still continuing to harm the living, then I will go in there and I'll try and get harm myself. I don't disrespect the other spirits that I feel might be trapped there. And a lot of the times now, we'd go on investigations, and, you know, we can catch EVP, or we'll know of spirits that were murdered there and shouldn't have been murdered. I switch gears then. You know, I do the contrasting thing, just like when Goldfield Hotel, when I did the investigation at Goldfield Hotel on Ghost Adventures, when I went into the room with Elizabeth, I felt very sad in there. I don't go by feelings a lot, but when you continue to investigate for years and years and years, that was almost five years ago we filmed Ghost Adventures.
5 years.
You know, from that time to now, we have been in paranormal since that time, and I'm continuing to learn so much, as is Nick and Aaron. And let me go back to Goldfield. When I went into Elizabeth's room there, she was a spirit that I feel is trapped there. And from the many of experiences of people who have documented experiences with her, her name and seeing her and all that kind of stuff, you know, I switch gears and I get onto their level. But I don't know how to help them. You know, I can only help them by telling them comforting words, telling them that I know what happened and see if that can help with them at all. But I just don't think it's my part to come in here as a paranormal investigator to try and tell them to either go to a light or go here or there. I don't feel that that's my calling to do that, because I don't know how to do that. That's something I think more is a deeper. I'm just out there with Nick and Aaron to gather evidence that there is something there, and there is something there. That's why we're doing this, and that's why I think paranormal is just... I think it should get bigger and bigger and bigger, because everybody needs to start listening, because we are seeing things, we are hearing things, and we are feeling things that we don't know how in the hell is there. We don't know how they cross in and out of this world. We can speculate as to gateways and portals and this and that, but it's something that has not been answered on this planet, that we are going to try our hardest just to keep getting more and more evidence and push the limits further and further. And if I have to provoke evil spirits to do that and get them to become active with me back, well, I'm willing to take that risk just to get some more evidence that can get people's attention.
Sure.
To, you know, to listen to this stuff. There's something there, and we've got to listen to their voices.
Nick, what are your thoughts? I mean, have you found that you get more activity when you instigate and try to get the spirits running like that?
I do. Sometimes Zach will be in the provoking stage, and we'll get a really big response, as you saw in, you know, the documentary, certain aspects of that, when we're going into the basement and Zach's calling them out and saying, we're not scared of you, and then you hear the banging, and then we get to there. I mean, maybe that was a response of them telling us to get the hell out of our place where we're trapped, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, we get a bigger response, we feel, when situations like that arise, when we're provoking. But again, like Zach said, we don't go after, you know, there's good people and there's bad people in the living world as it is. And then everybody dies, no matter what your beliefs are. Everyone will die, then there will be bad people and good people that die. Mm-hmm. So that's what we kind of key into, is in those, when we go to an investigation, we look for those certain spots where we research our history on that location. Say there's a murderer in this room that killed people, and then he died in this location. You know, we'll go after that, and we'll do whatever it takes to provoke, to try to capture some sort of evidence of that spirit who was bad in the living world and now is still trapped here and is evil. You know, I've had responses too when I'm doing digital recorder with EVPs, and I'm asking questions, and it says, I want to kill you, or it says, you know, F off, or certain things to me directly. You know, intelligent spirits, they do that too. So I feel the same as Zach does on that topic.
Yeah, they start answering you with questions. There's something there. We got to, you know, dig a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, we're going to take our first break here. We'll be back with more, and we'll take some more questions from the chat room. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guests, Zach Baggins and Nick Roff from the TV show Ghost Adventures, coming out this October.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town. Two ghosts walk into a bar and see another ghost at the bar point at them and yell, boo. One of the ghosts yells back, boo hoo. And the ghost at the bar yells back, well, you don't have to cry about it. Ah, hell, you try writing this.
You magnificent bastard. I salute you.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, sitting across the board from me. I don't think we introduced ourselves this evening, Tim. I have the lovely and talented Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Timothy.
Just call me Sparky, sir.
That's right. Speaking of Sparky, do not waste your money on the most horrible cartoon movie ever made. Speed Racer sucks. I'm just going on record as saying that right now. It has nothing to do with the paranormal or the amazing show that will be on coming up this October, Ghost Adventures, but I just had to throw it out there. Don't waste your money.
Just say it right now. Speed Racer was paranormally awful.
It was horrible. But let's get back into our guests this evening. Our guests are Zach and Nick from the TV show Ghost Adventures that are going to be coming out on the Travel Channel this October 17th. So, guys, we were kind of talking about the original show that you did. Let me ask you, starting off, Zach, how long have you, prior to filming that special, had you been a paranormal investigator? Had you gone out researching the paranormal, or was it just an interest because of things that had happened to you since youth?
Yeah, right before the documentary was made, it was 4 or 5 years prior to that that had me experienced. And I tried throwing off and, forgetting about, but it just kept coming up, and, I just couldn't forget about it. I felt like it maybe happened for a reason for me to dig deeper, and I don't know. Sometimes I believe all things happen for a reason. I think I'm supposed to be doing this, and I think that experience kind of triggered this.
Now, did you continue ghost hunting after you shot that initial special? Because you said you did that 5 years ago, or was it more of just a film project that you were working on?
No, it was kind of like a film project slash something that I'm really into. Even when we weren't filming, we would go out and do, investigations, places, and not film them. And this wasn't just to make a film. This is something that we're really deep involved in. And ever since that film was done and was released, it's a thing that we've really, since the movie, that we've really gotten more involved in. Since the timings of that film, we've been researching it. We've been learning about all the different areas of investigating, from the scientific methods to what we call an emotional approach to everything. So we've been really just trying to teach ourselves all the different research within the paranormal, and we're actually going to be implementing all of that into this new show.
Great. And how about you, Nick? I mean, did it keep you involved in investigating, or had you investigated before you started doing the TV show yourself or the special?
Yeah, I mean, I had an experience actually when I was a little kid, and as you get older, you kind of close off your mind to those experiences. And when I met Zach, he told me about his experience that he had about 5 years ago in Detroit, Michigan. And I said, that's really interesting. I remember certain things when I was a kid. And I said, we should, Zach and I were talking about it, we should both go out and we should look further into this, and we should grab some camcorders, bring Aaron on, and let's go see what we can come up with and see what we can capture.
Now, you both keep alluding to something that happened in your youth. Is that something you're willing to talk about publicly?
There's things that happened prior to my big experience that was when I was younger, but yeah, I don't like talking about that stuff. So there is things that did happen when I was younger that it seemed to come back, and maybe I was older now to really recognize it and listen to it this time. So I'm not a firm believer in, things happen for a reason, but again, as I grow older, I'm starting to believe in things that I didn't listen to when I was younger. And now I'm starting to, kind of switch gears here and saying that sometimes things do happen for a reason. I think some of the experiences that happened to me when I was younger and kind of came back to this real vivid experience when I was older, I think I didn't listen to it when I was young because, I was young. So now that I listen to it, this is what I do now. This is what I do full time. And even if I didn't have a new show coming out or this or that, this is still something that I would do all the time to keep trying to answer what those experiences were all about.
Well, a lot of the people... Curious. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We're all curious. We're all curious about this topic.
Exactly. Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I was more like a skeptic, on the borderline of being skepticism going into this with Zach, because, my mind did close off after those years of being a kid from experiencing that one thing that I saw. And after we had some of the experiences that happened to us in our documentary, capturing the full-body apparition and the brick flying that, really shocked the hell out of Zach and me, it opens your mind up dramatically, and it makes you want to look further and dig deeper on
what changes you.
It changes you dramatically, yes.
It changes you as a person inside when these things happen to you. I always say, like, I've never known what it's like to be abducted by aliens, but there are those people out there that have those stories that a lot of people think are crazy because they've never been abducted by an alien. But, you know, if you were, you would just look at people when you're walking down the street or you're in a grocery store and you see all those people and you're just like, man, I just do not fit in for some weird reason. And you start asking yourself, is it because I've had these really crazy-ass paranormal experiences that they probably have not had? You just start looking at the life and world and people. You start looking at things differently the more and more paranormal experiences you have. It's almost like you start crossing over into different little worlds and stuff. It's just kind of weird. It's hard to put in words.
Out of the three of you, now Aaron is the other member of your team, who's the jumpiest? I think I know the answer already, but who's the jumpiest of your team when you guys go out on these investigations?
I think Aaron is, you know, but, you know, he was more or less in, you know, Ghost Adventures, because when we hired him for Ghost Adventures, we literally just hired him to operate the camera.
Yeah, he didn't know what he was doing.
He didn't know what the hell the show was all about until we told him when we're doing our first investigation. You know, we didn't even tell
him.
So he's still warming up to this. It's something that, you know, I don't look at, you know, we've now given Aaron the you know, he's now our equipment tech. He's been learning for the last 2 years with us now all the different types of equipment that we now use in our investigations. We're introducing new pieces of equipment all the time. And Aaron has really gotten a specialty and really a liking of all these different pieces of equipment that we're using on our investigations now. But, you know, he has experienced some stuff. He wasn't at Goldfield with us, you know, when Nick and I was trapped there and with what happened in the basement. And, you know, with the Washoe Club and how we caught that apparition, you know, we just saw that on video. We didn't know that happened when we were there. So already to this point, I can tell you that Aaron has been affected by what we've already been doing right now with the new show. And when you guys see it, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But you get deeper and deeper into this, and Aaron is right now.
Well, I know our friend Habo, who's been out at the events that you guys have hosted, said that he had talked to Aaron earlier this week. I guess Aaron called him to wish him a happy birthday. So happy birthday, Habo. Sorry we missed you. And he was saying that for one of the episodes you guys have filmed, you've really found a place that he wouldn't give any specifics to Habo, but he said that he found a place, or you guys found a place that's probably a lot more scary than Goldfield was for one of your first locations, and it's really made an impact on him. Are you guys looking into famous haunted locations now, or are you sticking with things that may be off the beaten path? Because I personally, before the show, I'd never heard of the Goldfield before.
Okay, yeah, the Goldfield we didn't either. You know, we did a lot of we do a lot of research now with these locations. Just like then, Goldfield Hotel and Washoe Club, those are two places that, you know, we're very, you know, we're very sensitive on. Those are the places that we kind of birthed us into this launching of paranormal investigations and what we're doing now on TV and stuff like that. And they've really given us some experiences that have really affected us in good and bad. But right now, with our new TV show, you know, I can't talk too much about it, but the locations that we're choosing are very careful. We're very carefully selected. I mean, we're literally taking weeks just to select one location. We look for a lot of different things within these locations, and we just got back from filming our second episode like 2 nights ago, so if I sound really tired, I pulled a 48-hour day. but some of these locations, they are, I don't know how to phrase it, they're
extremely dark. We're queuing into really dark history. We're talking, we have a researcher, we're researching the locations before we go into them, and we're looking for the places that, you know, with the stuff that we do, where we can cue in on the provocative state that we take, the emotional state that we take, and the scientific place that we take. So there has to be a lot of activity.
Right. We ask ourselves, too, all the time, how far is too far? And something that happened on the second episode is still has a lot of intensity in me right now from something that happened on this second episode, and you know, we're just going to continue to do it, and I'm not going to stop at anything, nor is Nick, nor is Aaron, and all we could say is it's a very raw look from the paranormal standpoint. It's kind of like us in Ghost Adventures 5 years ago, but then put another 5 years of us doing nothing but solid research on all the different, what I like to call areas of paranormal investigating and scientific, emotional, all different kinds of areas that we've want to combine in this. We don't want to just specialize in one area. So we're trying to get the best, the most credible equipment, the most credible antics, ways of performing these investigations at some of the darkest locations that I think exist in this world, not just the United States. We got to remember.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Are there places that are going to be overseas that you're interested in investigating as well?
Yeah. We are going to be featuring an international location in this season. It's going to be our last grand finale. Yes, it's still, again, dark. Like I said, you know, we're not just saying, well, we just like to go to all dark locations, this and that.
Yeah.
But we've found that that is our niche. That is something that we do. We do push the limits. We are controversial. We are provocative. And the places that we're going to, we feel that instead of going to a little bed and breakfast to see if the little boy, blows bubble gum in a window when you wave at him, we're going to go to these more darker places because of the style that we like to use and investigate. And we just feel that you can get more activity that way when you can deliver a provocative message and to piss a spirit off that was back in the day, you know, a murderer or somebody who is very violent. They're still like that. They still think it's the same year. They don't know it's 2008.
Right. Well, we've got a question too, which actually begs itself. If anybody watched the special, I shouldn't say if anybody. For those of you that watch the special, you know that there was a very frightening moment in the Goldfield Hotel where you two were locked in there, and when it occurred, your guys' response was just getting the hell out of that hotel. Yet now you're going to be going into dark, spooky, scary places. Are you having those same knee-jerk reactions where when you see or experience something, it's kind of that fight-or-flight mentality and you just want to get the hell out of there?
Yeah, but we force ourselves to stay now. We don't ever want to run from anything like that again. And that's something that Nick and I did not expect to happen down there. And I don't give a crap what anybody says about it. If they want to laugh because we ran or that, oh, we're not professionals because we ran or we're not this, it scares the hell out of you. Okay, if a ghost can harm you.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And especially what you guys saw, for those people that didn't get a chance to see it, I don't want to blow the spoiler whistle too loud, so I'm going to mention something. Turn down your radio or tune out if you don't want to hear this next section. But when they were in the Goldfield Hotel in the basement, the two of them were down there, and a brick threw itself across the room, and a board started to levitate. And I got to tell you, I don't know anybody that wouldn't, watching this through your viewfinder and night vision and see this occur right in front of you, I don't know anybody that wouldn't turn on heel and try to get, beat feet to get the hell out of that building. Yeah. That has to be a frightening deal. I don't think anybody's picking on you guys. It was funny to watch at the time because it's so, intensive. I love the people that are all ballsy and bravado and, oh, you're in this for investigating. It doesn't matter. I can stand around the corner and jump out and scare the hell out of, toughest guy in the world. If they're not ready for it, they're going to jump. And when you see bricks flying and boards floating, the first inclination is to get the hell out of there before you end up getting beamed.
Well, you can get harmed.
And not only that, there's an emotional side to it that our cameras and our sound don't pick up that the viewer doesn't see.
Exactly.
I actually, when Zach took off in front of me, he actually thought I was behind him. I actually froze down like a car battery just dying and trying to restart that car battery over and over again. Mm-hmm. I froze in that situation. My whole energy was drained out of me, like my soul being sucked out of me. And what's crazy on that tape, too, when we played it back later, when we were looking at my tape, you actually hear a woman's voice saying my name, saying, Nick. Mm-hmm. So that added more to, what was going on down there, who was trying to get us out, were they helping us, did they want us to get out? It frightened the hell out of us.
Mm-hmm.
Something that we were not expecting.
Yeah, like I said, I don't blame me. I know Chad Kalick's listening right now, and he's saying there's no harm in running, guys. That's a natural reaction.
We're trying not to do that anymore, though.
Right? No.
Exactly.
Well,
if something happens from now on, and which we have been doing, I mean, there's been certain moments where we have been startled again, where we jumped. I remember one moment I actually freaked out, and Zach grabbed me and said, no, back in here. Grabbed me by the shoulder, and we went back in, and we did our thing again. And, you know, that's just what we do. I mean, there's moments where you step aside, and then you got to regroup yourself.
Yeah, well, it's okay to be human, guys. Yeah, that's
exactly.
A weird...
I mean, if a ghost is kicking your ass, you can't fight back because you're just punching air.
Air boxing.
You know? They could take all the cheap shots they want, but you right. can't find them, you know?
Well, I don't know. According to the Casper cartoons, if you tip a can of white paint on them, they'll be able to be seen. Okay, guys?
Okay.
Didn't
mark
you
that
learn
down.
Anything?
I wish it was easier like that. That would be good.
You Aaron, know, mark down white paint on our equipment list.
our friend Shay is in the chat room. She wanted to know, when you guys are doing the EVPs and you're getting the response and you're doing the heckling to try to get the bad guys to respond, how do you know that you're not getting the response from the victim when you're... taunting and doing that?
Well, you can't see them, you know, so you're just calling out that certain individual, you know what I mean? But, you know, on most investigations, like now, we'll go in, and depending on what the location is and what the history is, we will switch gears. We'll taunt a little bit, and then we'll switch gears, and if we know that there's victims there, you know, you can't guess. We're not psychics. So we don't walk into a location and come up with all these thoughts about what happened there and trying to guess what happened here and there and there. You know, we go to these locations that are documented. We like to find places that have actual names that we can use. These names are the ones who did the murdering there. So when we're going there, we're calling out specific individuals. We're not doing it as a broad sense, okay?
Sure.
Just like in Goldfield Hotel, we called out George Wingfield. So when we're doing these locations now, background is the most important element in our investigations. When you do an interview on somebody, you like to research them before you do the interview because you'll get better answers. You dig deeper. When we do these investigations, that's exactly what we do. We do our back history on all these locations so we can call out those specific individuals who we feel are now inflicting harm or are haunting the place. And have now become bothersome to the owners of the establishments. But if we know that there's victims there, which now in our new two episodes, you know, if there's victims there, we will reach out in a different way, and we will try and approach this person and be as comforting as possible. Because if they're still trapped there, I believe that they're still trapped in that exact time and that exact day of when these people were murdered there. So if there's a lost spirit there that's trapped, we try and at least do what we can to comfort them, to give them calm words and let them know we're here and we know what happened. But like I said before, we don't know how to help them to where they need to go to a light or they need to do this, this, this. We're paranormal investigators, okay? We don't know how, we don't send spirits to the light and we don't do that kind of stuff. But what we do try to do is go there and we try and comfort them with words and explanations of what we know happened.
All right, guys.
Yeah,
gonna...
and vice versa. Like in the Goldfield Hotel, when Zach was in Elizabeth's room, when he's, you know, talking to her and trying to communicate with her, and then all of a sudden you see, you know, that orb go down his bicep of his arm.
All right, we're going to take our second break. Stick with us, guys. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. And remember to visit our friend Chad Kalick's website for more information on the Black Magic event that's going to be taking place in New Orleans. You can do that by going to theamericanghosthunter.com. Again, that's theamericanghosthunter.com, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves,
thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
thank
she...
you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town. The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the seven bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Welcome back to The Darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air on the edge of town.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Just wanted to give you a quick reminder that Darkness Events has their new Waverly Hills event up. We're only allowing 100 people to the event. You get to investigate for two full nights at Waverly Hills. You get great talks from speakers like Michael and Marty Perry doing a live gallery reading. There's Chip Coffee from the TV show Paranormal State and Psychic Kids. You've got Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence. Tim and I will be out there along with John Zaffis and Adam Bly, the demonologists. It's going to be a great time. Last time we were out there, we got so much amazing activity. And again, we're keeping it a small group. There'll only be 100 people total. You get broken up over two nights. You get a chance to investigate the entire place for about 4 to 5 hours a night. So check it out. Limited tickets available. First 100 people to respond. We're about half sold out on the event as it is, so make sure you sign up. We've got great deals going on for the event and for hotels as well. So check out our website at darknessevents.com. Now we're going to go back to our guests this evening, Nick and Zach from the TV show Ghost Adventures. Now, guys, is there an official website they can go to keep up with you guys and get updates?
Yeah, they can go to myspace.com/ghostadventures.
Okay, and again, if you go to our website at darknessradio.com, click on the show button, you'll see the picture of the guys, click it, and it will take you right to their website at MySpace, so you can join in and keep up with them. We're going to be doing some events with the guys as well this year, so we'll be getting into some paranormal adventures, hopefully one or two this year before their show kicks off, and one or two right after the show, so keep watching the sites for updates on that as well. Now, guys, let me ask you this. We had the friends of our show, of course, Ghost Hunters, Taps, went out and they investigated the Goldfield and the Washoe Club and a couple of the places that you guys did on your special. Everybody wanted to know, and that was the majority of the questions I got tonight. What did you guys think of that episode of Ghost Hunters? And, you know, was there anything that you thought that they might have missed out on or that you were surprised to see happen?
I didn't see the episode personally, but I heard about it. Did you, Zach?
I caught a couple pieces of it, but all I got was just a ton of emails from people regarding it, about their investigating the Goldfield and Washoe and stuff like that.
Did it bother you guys to know that they went in and basically just did a redo of what you guys had already done on the special?
I don't know. I'd rather not even comment on it. I don't want to, you know, start talking here about other, you know, I've never even met the guys from Ghost Hunters, so... You know, I'd rather not even comment on, you know, I did see a couple pieces of it, but it wasn't enough for me to make any kind of assessments on my opinion on how they did the investigation or anything like that.
All right, fair enough. Hey, what kind of equipment do you guys recommend now that you're doing more investigating? What have you been getting the best results with?
Well, we've begun to really use a bunch of different stuff. The biggest change that we've used, we're now shooting on high definition. The whole show is HD, and we're even using HD night vision cameras, which is absolutely amazing. And using HD night vision, it can really get rid of all the, you know, the dust and stuff like that, think our orbs and stuff like that. And so we're trying to get the best possible picture. Because I think that seeing is believing, so I think that the most important piece of equipment within any paranormal investigator is their cameras, whether it be their night vision cameras, their digital still cameras. We're using some other equipment, you know, the EMF detectors. We're beginning to introduce those, thermometers, anything that can add to the credibility of a certain experience, whether it be drops in extreme temperature, readings from an EMF detector, all of things that coincide with the possibility of the presence of a spirit. And we're also using other pieces of equipment that are being introduced that I can't name right now, but we are working with somebody right now who engineers and designs equipment and has been doing that for many, many years. And he is collaborating with us, and we're actually experimenting with different pieces of equipment, which I really like. You know, in Ghost Adventures, our documentary, we really didn't do too much of that. We just used, you know, cameras, still cameras. But now we have a whole arsenal that we show up with, you know. And you know, before we do our investigations, we have a whole equipment checklist where we kind of show you every single piece of equipment that we use. And Aaron suits up as our equipment tech, and that's been very, very useful. But, you know, we don't just specialize in that. You know, we don't like to just show up to a location and just, you know, say, okay, we're going to put a camera here, we're going to do this, you know, let's do some readings over here, blah, 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 blah. you know, we don't just specialize in one area, and I think a lot of investigations, a lot of teams do that. They'll just specialize in the scientific method, or they'll just do this method. I think if you can get well-versed in all the different areas, I'm going to bring up MMA because I'm a big mixed martial arts fan, but, you know, back in the day when you used to watch old UFC, it was just, okay, this guy who specializes in kung fu is going to fight the guy that specializes in taekwondo. You know, now they have to get well-versed in every single area, and they excel in every single area. And that's what I kind of see myself doing here and with Nick and Aaron is we go in there and we cover all different areas, and I think that's been very beneficial to us right now.
You know, Zach, there was never a guy in UFC who specialized in needlepoint. I don't get why not.
That comes up in the next season, Tim.
Nice.
Right.
Now, going forward with this, are you guys going to be bringing on the show any, you know, a lot of times they'll bring in people, experts, and bring on, you know, psychics, mediums. Are you going to be incorporating that at all in the show?
Yeah, actually, you know, I can't say too much about the show.
Right.
But, you know, what I can touch on is that I can say this. We do like to have second opinions on analyzations on our stuff. And I think that, you know, people that analyze their own stuff constantly and those of them that are not open to have others analyze their findings to get a second opinion, I feel that using that and incorporating that into what we're doing is very beneficial. And it kind of gets those skeptics out there too involved a little bit more by getting the second opinion by these experts. So, yes.
All right. How about, Nick, what are your thoughts about using or utilizing mediums or psychics on an investigation?
It's good, but we don't rely heavily on that, like us personally, the way we do our stuff as GAC, as our group. So we don't rely heavily on that when we go in. It's just our cameras, the way we do it. It's raw, three of us, digital recorders, armed with our equipment. And that's just kind of how we do our approach. But other than that, I don't know. It's a different opinion. It's a different, I think, state and a different paranormal approach.
What would you guys like? Now, how many episodes total are you been signed on for? Eight episodes?
Yeah, eight episodes.
All right, great. And those are going to start appearing October 17th, correct?
Yeah, October 17th, and then our airing time slot is prime time, Fridays at 9.
Oh, great. Okay.
So we'll be on every Friday at 9 p.m.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
What
do you guys hope that people take away from the show? What do you think is going to set you apart from the other paranormal TV shows that are out in the marketplace right now?
It's real simple. Two words, raw, extreme. And that's exactly what we are. We're raw, we're extreme. You know, I can tell you that we don't go out there with a huge, big old camera crew and stuff like that. We're really preserving that rawness that we had in Ghost Adventures. And it's really going to make people feel like they're right there with us. Gosh, I want to tell you so much about it, but I'm afraid to, you know, slip up and start revealing too much here.
No, go ahead. Really we'll just edit it out, Zach. Don't worry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're not on live, are we?
What's live mean?
Can you give us the beeps just like when we swear in Ghost Adventures?
Exactly, yeah.
We'll just audio where it's
and then
like,
we saw a beep, and then there was beep, 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 and beep, beep.
Yeah, exactly. That cut out so much in the sci-fi, you get to hear all the little swears.
Yeah, I just think you're gonna see an approach that really hasn't that I have never seen before, and it's the truth. We wanted to do something completely different. We wanted to preserve the rawness that we do, making you feel like you're right there with us. But you know, in opposite from Ghost Adventures, we've come a long way in researching and have become extremely knowledgeable on this topic and in our investigation style and what methods we're using. So we're going in there for one thing and one thing only, to gather, you know, great evidence while also going there and telling you about the history of these locations, you know, telling you about the people who experience stuff that I think we need to listen to more because, you know, Nick and I having experiences with the paranormal, we listen to these people with something in common. So I think listening to what they went through, mostly bad, for the locations that we're going to, and really taking that into the investigation, taking the dark history that we research, taking the personal stories that we hear from the people who have been affected at these locations. And I'll tell you right now, within like the first few minutes after you see the introduction to our show and the locations that we're choosing with the history, you're really going to ask yourself, wow, this location is pretty damn dark. And by what we do in there, there is kind of a, I don't like to call it a hook, but there is something that we do on every single location that is really going to, you know, when you're sitting there, be like, holy, you know what, I really can't believe they're going to do this. So we do have an extreme part to it, but that extreme part is really lending itself to us doing what we do best and provoking the bad and sure. respecting the good. And
you know, Marty is in our chat room right now, and she just asked, since you don't know how to help somebody cross over, have you ever thought about adding somebody to the team so when you get done investigating, you can have them go in and help the spirit to maybe cross over?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how we would, you know, if we were investigating and we, you know, got a message like, you know, please help me or something like that, I think maybe we would mention that. And, you know, we do have people that are within our GAC organization that know people that can, you know, go to the right people that can do that. But like I said, we don't do that. And we're not there to send spirits to the light. We're there to get evidence. We're paranormal investigators. We don't know how to do that, and I don't know if that's something that we would really get into, because that's, I think, more, I can't even, you know, put the right words together on this topic. I think I see a lot of psychics that do that. You know, they like talking to them and stuff like that and tell them to go to the light and stuff like that, and that's just something that we don't have in the show, and I don't think we would incorporate in the show. Okay. But I will tell you, if I did hear that with my own 2 ears or on a digital recorder, yes, that would be brought up, and we would try and find someone to get more answers on how to deal with that situation. If there's anybody in help, whether it be in the real material world or someone crossed over, and we heard the cries for help, that's cries that we would not go unanswered. Right. We would do what we have to do to you know.
Well,
find
guys,
the right people to help them.
I want to thank you both for joining us here tonight. Our time is up, but it was great, and I'm looking forward to the new season. And everybody, keep watching the Sci-Fi Channel for the last airing of Ghost Adventures. And you said it will be coming up this month.
Yeah, I think they're airing it again one more time the end of May.
All right. Well, Nick, Zach, give our love to Aaron. Congratulations on the new series. Continued success with it, and we look forward to talking to you at season 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Will do. Take care.
Okay.
And thank you all for tuning into the show this evening, and thank you for being here and being a part of our family with us each week. And I also want to just say to Cliff Schrader, my son out there, I love you, son. Be careful. I'm proud of you. Good night. We'll be back with you next week.